Hey everybody, thank you for joining Milkshake Monday, episode 18. I want to first of all say to all you prayer warriors, thank you so much. We could tell on Saturday that we had warriors praying for us and interceding, and the people were blessed, and people loved and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ in the serving and ministry of love, and I just want to thank you. On Sunday, we got into a conversation in Mark 2, and we started to discuss being real, not just with one another, but with our family members, with friends, and especially with our young adults. They have to see that in our lives, we have struggled, we have made mistakes, we sin, we screwed up. And I just wanted to share for those of you who are watching, whether you're young or old, that even in tonight's teaching about what to do when you're backed in a corner, your back's against the wall, when everything seems like it's going wrong and you have to make some tough decisions, whether to go forward and move backwards, go sideways, that I've been there and I know that many of you have been there. And it's important that we share with our people in our lives that don't know Christ that we've made mistakes and that we've gotten into some tough situations at our own doing, our own stupid decisions, and the bad consequences that follow after. So as we teach tonight, I just wanted us to realize that Milkshake Monday is an opportunity for us to be real and to talk in a simple manner about what the Lord is teaching us in the Word of God, what He's teaching and trying to share with us every page about Jesus Christ and how Jesus Christ knows all about us. He has such a knowledge about us, but even in spite of all of the sin that He knows about us, He still came. So that's something to think about when you start to say, I don't like the church, I don't like the hypocrites, I don't like the do's and the don'ts, and I don't like this and that. Focus on Jesus Christ, because Christ loves you, and He knows everything about you, and He still loves you. So tonight we're going to be in Exodus chapter 13 and 14, primarily chapter 14, because I wanted you to see a situation. I'm going to set up the story. You've already had the plagues that Moses was able to perform through the Holy Spirit, doing all kinds of plagues to have Pharaoh get to the point to say, you guys get out of here. But in chapters 13 through 14, you're going to see how the nation of Israel is backed into a corner, figuratively. They're going to find themselves with the Red Sea in front of them, with two mountains on the left and right of them, and Pharaoh's army pursuing them. And there's a choice that they're going to either have to make to trust God and move forward, or to be in fear and be taken out by Pharaoh's own army. You'll see, like all of us, we have choices like that every day, every month, every year. And some of us do well with them and some of us don't. Do you remember the old times where they used to have the soap operas? And at the end of the week on Friday, there was the climax, the cliffhanger, and everybody wanted to know, was that person going to get together? Were they going to get caught? Were they going to get found out? Somebody going to die? You didn't know what was going to happen on Friday. But you were so excited because in 2 days on Monday, you're going to figure out what happened. And they still drug you along all week until you get to the next cliffhanger. And so it is with our lives. Every time there's an opportunity to have a choice when your back is against the wall and you're in a corner, you have to stop and you have to think, am I trusting God? Am I doubting? Am I depending on myself? Or am I just going to have confidence that the Lord, He's got me? So we're in Exodus chapter 14. And I want you to see what's happening in verses 1 through 4. The Lord is going to say to Moses that He wants His people to turn and to camp at this very location where they're going to have an issue. But I want you to see in verses 1 through 4 that He's also going to tell us, I plan to harden Pharaoh's heart. And He's going to say that Pharaoh thinks he knows what these people are going to do, my nation, that they're going to get confused in the wilderness, that they're going to be hemmed in and all this stuff. But I know what Pharaoh's going to do, but I'm going to harden his heart because I'm going to get the glory out of everyone from his armies to everybody knowing the power of who God is. So listen to what it says in chapter 14. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they turn and camp before Phi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon, you shall camp before it by the sea. Here's the Lord speaking. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. When you're going through a situation in your life, just like we've been learning about the experience of Job, the Lord in the court of heaven had said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? And look at the nation of Israel. The Lord has put them right in this fix. And he's hardening Pharaoh's heart. But it's to get the people of God to see him, deliver them. And it's to show those people who don't know the Lord that the Lord deserves glory and honor. And he's all powerful. What I want you to see here, go down here where you go and you'll see verse 8. And it says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, he told you he would, king of Egypt, and he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. Now, when we go through a situation of faith in our lives, whether it's Elijah who's done some magnificent work where God has been shown grand and faithful, and then he gets a note from Jezebel and he runs. Some of us go through times where God delivers us and we go out boldly and then something happens and we just totally doubt. I've been there. I raise my hand. I've been there and this is a teaching as much for me. But God knows our disposition and who we are. I want you to go back to chapter 13 because I want you to see something that was written there. If you get the opportunity to read chapter 13 of Exodus, I want you to see how many times that it says in so many ways that the Lord with his strong hand brought you out of Egypt. Or it says that by the strength of the hand of the Lord, he brought him out of Egypt, out of the bondage. They just keep repeating that over and over again. But I want you to see in chapter 13, verse 17, what it says. It says here, it says, then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines. Take note of what it says here. Although that was near, that was closer, that would have been closer. But look what God knows about us. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. I wanted you to see that because when we go through these situations in our lives that cause us to be concerned about how it's all going to end up, how is the climax of the situation, how is the cliffhanger going to be handled, a lot of us are so comfortable with the familiar. Remember a while back I taught about how the Good Samaritan story, how some of us want to embrace the thieves. Some of us are embracing the familiar. And the familiar, even for the nation of Israel, were those of people who were in bondage to their taskmasters. And they were praying to God and crying to God, get us out of here, get us out of here. But when you get into a situation when your back's in against the wall and you're backed into a corner, you start to do the same behaviors that the nation of Israel does. And you have to be careful because what I want you to take away from this teaching is that you have to trust God. It showed in chapter 13 how the Lord was in a cloud by day and he was in a cloud, which was a fire by night to give them light to keep walking day and night, to give them warmth. The Lord was before them and behind them. And that's what God is. Even when we feel like we are backed into a corner, God is there. He's still mighty. But look at the behaviors that all of us tend to exhibit when we get into a situation where we don't think there is any way to get out and everything looks impossible. Remember, with God, all things are possible. But look what happens here. Verse 10 of chapter 14. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So here's where we go. So they were very afraid, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. And see, what happens is we have faith on life support. And when we see something that scares us and we can't figure it out and we don't know how to handle it, our faith goes on life support. And we immediately crowd to go, oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. You're in a hospital bed. Oh, God, help me. Oh, God, help me. Please get me out of here. You don't have the money. Your kids are acting up. Your husband's, your wife is acting up. Your job is gone. You're just sick. You're sick. And all of a sudden, you're crying out to the Lord. But then when you don't get a reaction from God, because God doesn't act on our own time, you go to the nearest thing that you can yell at, that you can fuss at, that you can complain to. And this is what they did here. It says in verse 11, after they just cried out to the Lord, then they said to Moses, couldn't touch God, but they can yell at Moses. And here's the attitude. Listen to the attitude here. Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Now, they just saw the plagues. They know that it was the Lord who did those plagues. They knew, we just heard in chapter 13, the strength of the Lord's hand, the strong hand of the Lord. They didn't get it confused, but they were complaining to Moses. But as you've seen in many scriptures, the Lord will say, no, they didn't complain about you, Moses. They would complain about me. They were just yelling and complaining to you, but they were complaining about me. And some of us find ourselves in a situation where our backs are in a corner and we're backed into a wall that we start complaining against the husband. Why did you do that? I do it all the time. Why? What did you do this for? Why? You start fussing at the kids. You're fussing at the sin, but you can't get a hold of God, so you start fussing. But here's the next step of what happens when you're backed in a corner. They, I told you so. A lot of marriages are struggling because we're in the I told you so. We have a lot of relationships with moms and dads and kids because one of them say, I told you so. And look at verse 12. He says, is this not the word that we told you in Egypt? The I told you so of the tongue is so treacherous. When you get backed in a corner, this is when you both should get on your knees and pray together. You as a family should pray together, not pointing the finger to say, I told you. I told you that wasn't going to work. I told you we didn't have the money. I told you we should have never let her do that. I should have told you we should have never let them go there. We should have never. I told you. That's exactly what they tried to throw in Moses' face, that they would rather stay in the sinful Egypt in bondage instead of remembering that the Lord liberated them and brought them out. But look what goes on in verse 12. It says, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. And that's what I was talking about loving the thieves in your lives. The Egyptians were their taskmasters. They were slaves to the bondage of Egypt. And some of us are slaves to habits, whether it's drinking or drugging or pornography or whatever sin it could be. But we'd rather embrace that than to move forward and let the Lord deliver us and take us through the Red Sea. But we'd rather go back. That's why God said, I'm not letting go through the way of the Philistines, because when they see the marching of the Egyptians on them, they'll go back and change their minds. And that's what God is trying to get us to stop changing our minds and being double-minded. Because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. And that's what we see when we're backed into a corner. Oh, I want to go forward, but no, it's hard. It's uncomfortable. I don't know people there. I'm afraid. I'm very afraid. But look what it says here. It says, when you are thinking foolishly and confused and in doubt, it says stuff that you really don't mean for the long term. It says, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. They weren't seeing God. They weren't seeing the cloud. They weren't seeing the pillar of fire. They weren't seeing the deliverance. They weren't seeing the hope, the peace. All they were seeing was the now. And when you get backed in the corner, that's what you do. Doubt and unbelief and being faithless, you see the now. You lose hope because all you're seeing, but you have to open your eyes to what the Lord sees. It says, lift your head up. From whence cometh your help? Your help comes from above, not looking at everything you see now. But look what Moses comes back, because this is what you have to remember. When you're in the corner, This is some stuff that you have to start saying to the devil and saying to yourself when your faithless mind, which changes often, is telling you to be afraid. You have to say what Moses says in verse 13. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Fear will paralyze you." But it says here, "Do not be afraid." And I love this. "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today." And some of us have to put it on the refrigerator, put it on the bathroom mirror, put it in the car on the overhead, put it in your office and say, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which will be accomplished for you today." Now, some of you say, "Oh, I want it done today. It didn't happen today." You have to wait on the Lord and trust him. The scripture I was going to take you all to tonight was going to be going over to Matthew 14, where at the end of that story, it says to Peter, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" And that's me. I'm speaking to myself. I find myself in predicaments, situations, trouble. And my first thing is I'm going to fear. I'm going to fail. What are people going to think? How am I going to get out of this? How am I going to make this work? How am I going to get it all done? And I just have to stop and say, "Anita, stand still. Stand still." Because often we say these words out of scripture, but we really aren't living it. And God knows it. We'll say, "The battle belongs to the Lord." I'm going to read that in a second. The battle belongs to the Lord, and the Lord fights for us. But we still find ourselves in the boxing ring with our gloves still on. Why do we need our gloves on? Take the gloves off and put those hands together and pray. Get out of the ring and go before the Lord and cry out to him in confidence and boldness to trust him. But look what it says here. I got to keep going. It says here, "For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you." The Lord will fight for you. Backed in a corner. The Lord will fight for you. Don't get me shouting here. The Lord will fight for you and you shall hold your peace. Now, when I used to hear the word "hold your peace," I'm taking it two different ways. Hold your peace, which used to be to me, keep your mouth shut. Stop complaining. But even hold on to the peace of God that surpasses all of our understanding. Do you remember that scripture in Proverbs 3? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. And your path at times will be, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Take your hand off it. Try to stop being the savior of your children. Try to stop being the savior of other people and pray and let the Lord do his work. Let the Lord do his work. Go to bed and trust him when you go to sleep. Now look at what it says here. I got to say the last couple of scriptures here. Verse 15 said, "And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward." Some of us are stagnating because we're holding on to everything that we used to know. My husband talks of the word transformation. The Lord is in the transformation business. But we have to go forward, not look backward and get the crick in our neck and keep comparing what used to be. That's the past. The past is buried. Go forward. Did you hear the Lord said, go forward? When you're backed into a corner, move forward. He's going to see this. The nation of Israel is going to go forward through the Red Sea, not backwards where the enemy wants you to retreat. Let the Lord take care of that. Let the Lord take care of your battle and you go forward and trust that he's opened the doors that he wants you to go through. And stop doubting and believe that Christ loves you enough that he's gonna be with you. He said, "I'll never leave you or forsake you." Never, 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 never leave you or forsake you. He's got you. He's got you. You're not in the corner by yourself. He breaks open the corner. Did you see Peter in prison? He breaks open the prisons. You don't have to doubt. He's got you. I wanted to leave you with this one statement because it's on verses 24 and 25. Now, It came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians. The nation of Israel is walking on through dry land. But then here's the Lord. When I talk about the Lord fighting your battles. Now it came to pass in the morning watch that the Lord looked down upon the army of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and cloud, and he troubled the army of the Egyptians. And he took off their chariot wheels so that they drove them with difficulty. And the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fights for them against the Egyptians." Hallelujah. If the Lord is fighting for you, what you doing with your gloves on? Take them off and trust God. Pray to God. Start thanking him for the victory. Start thanking him that he has got you, that he's going to make sure that you can go forward. Trust the Lord. When I saw Peter in Matthew 14, everybody always talks about Peter walking on that water. But I want you to say, when the Lord said, "Why did you doubt?" I want you to look at some of those scriptures early on in verses 22 and 23, because Peter said, the Lord said, "It is I." He said to them, "Don't fear, it is I." But I want you to see only a couple words. Peter said, the Lord said, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." There we go, being afraid. But look what Peter said, because when the doubt starts, it didn't just start at the waves. When Peter started walking, it started before the waves, because the Lord had said, "Be of good cheer." When somebody says, "Be of good cheer," these guys were in fear. They thought it was a ghost. But look what it says, what Peter said in verse 28. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if," he just said, "It is I." It wasn't a question, but this is where doubt is. If, that is the start of doubt. Doubt didn't start when he got out of the boat. Doubt started in his mind when he questioned what God had said to him. This time it says, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you." Doubt starts small and grows big. We have to put the doubt aside, like Jesus said, instead of being those of little faith, have faith. Have faith. When you're backed in the corner, go forward. Don't go back. Go forward. Go forward in the Lord. And the Word of God tells us to stand. And when you've done all, to stand, stand some more. And put on that whole armor of God so you can stand and you can fight against the wiles of the devil. Because we're in an evil day, as Ephesians 6 talks about. But with the whole armor of God, we can stand because he fights our battles. Thank you all. I love you. And I hope you have a wonderful week. And we'll see you next week. Love you.